Just recently, I was watching the TV program Grand Designs, and I was struck by the comment of a man who had just finished building this imposing house. And part of the house was what he called a volcanic sauna, which had cost thousands of pounds. And the presenter that day was sitting with him in the sauna. And he was chatting away with him, as you do in a sauna, I guess. And he said to him, "You know, you spent thousands of pounds to put this sauna in your house. Was it worth it?" And this is what the guy replied. "These days," he said, "people no longer go to church." Well, that was wrong to start with. "So we have nowhere to go and relax and put away the pressures of life. Nowhere to think. So that's why I built this sauna. And I think it's well worth the expense." Now, for him to see going to church as a place where one just relaxes and puts away the pressures of life and thinks, well, that's part of it, but it's to highly downplay the purpose of Almighty God, isn't it, in calling his people to gather together. But it wasn't that so much that drew my attention. I thought that was just inaccurate and funny and a bit sad. But it was the way he used the phrase, "go to church." He didn't mean go to a building, but to go to a place to be involved in something that is called church. You ever thought of how you use that? "Oh, I went to church today." Did you mean you went to the building? No, you went to that place, that thing, that occasion, that time when God's people gather together. It's interesting that you will talk to your friends, your non-Christian friends, and you say to them, "Oh," and they ask, "Well, what did you do on the weekend?" You said, "I went to church." They know exactly what you mean, don't they? They know that you're talking about that time when you go to be involved together with others in something that we call church. Church, the word church means many things for a Christian. Oh, it is the building that the church gathers in. It is the people of God who are called the church because we belong to Christ. We are his church. But we also use it to mean what we're doing now. What we're doing in this place every Sunday. This is church. And your non-Christian friend would recognize that. The problem is, of course, like the man in his sauna, they often have the wrong impression about church. Wrong impression about what it means to us. They may think it's just a place we go to relax and think and let our pressures go. It's a lot more than that, isn't it? And they have these assumptions about this particular face of the church, which is our time of worship, which are completely wrong. And they're wrong to the point that they do not want to experience it for themselves. Now, to change their assumptions about this face of the church, well, that will always be hard. In fact, I think only God can do that in the end. But what about our assumptions? What about us? What we can change is how we understand ourselves, what this is, what God expects church to be for you and me, for his people. And if we understand it, we can then seek to follow God's expectations, not ours, but But God's expectations for that time when we gather together to worship and praise Him as a group, to do so for God's sake, for His sake, but also for our own sake and the sake of others in the congregation. And the major thing that we must understand, the major thing we must realise, is that this church time is for God and His pleasure. Not predominantly to please us. You know, over the many years I've been a pastor, I've spoken to a lot of people who have stopped going to any church time at all. And they've told me why. Sometimes it's because they didn't like the changes that came about. Sometimes it was because they didn't like the pastor. Sometimes it was because someone had upset them or asked them to do something. And sometimes it was simply when it didn't fulfill my needs anymore. And it was as though church was seen as all about them. Never once has anybody told me, they might have thought it, but they've never told me, I no longer go to church because God told me not to go. Indeed, to think that God would ever do that is actually quite foolish, isn't it? You see, if you go and look at your Bibles, right through the Bible from the very beginning, right through the Old Testament into the New, you see that for some incredible reason, Almighty God desires the worship of His people. Even set aside a day for them to particularly worship, not just as individuals, but together as a gathering. Yeah, I was reading the Psalms this week, and I was coming to the end of the Psalms. As you go to the end of the book of Psalms, you see a lot of those Psalms right at the end are all about this whole privilege of praising such a glorious God as we do. And I read this in Psalm 149. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of His faithful people. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise His name with dancing and make music to Him with tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in His people. Isn't that an amazing statement? For the Lord takes delight in His people. He crowns the humble with victory. And also this one. Let His faithful people rejoice in this honour. And sing for joy in their beds. Sing all the time about this honour that we have to come and worship and praise Almighty God. Stop for a minute and think about that. It is such an honour to come together to worship the one and only God. And to do so at His invitation. But it's an honour that comes with certain demands. If you read, if you've got a spare half hour, couple of hours, couple of days, read through the books of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And you will soon see that because God is so holy, He could not invite His own people to come and worship Him without giving them some very strong directions about the way they should approach Him, in order to bring their worship and their praise. You read the book of Exodus, and all the things that God said to His people about coming, and said to the priest about leading His people into worship. They are very intensive, aren't they? Because you see, because of their sinfulness, sacrifice is required. That's one thing that comes through very strongly. They cannot approach God, even to praise Him, even to worship him without the required sacrifice. You look at some of those sacrifices, there's a Thanksgiving sacrifice, and there's all these sacrifices because God is holy. He wants his people to come before him, but they need to have this sacrifice to prepare themselves to come into his presence. Then, of course, everything changed. Wonderfully changed. God the Son came into the world as a man. And his death upon the cross of Calvary made us worthy. I love your prayer, David. That was so good. This grace, and that makes us, the unworthy ones, worthy. It is grace. It is God's doing. It is that sacrifice that God died upon the cross so that all the difference could be made for us. And he rose again so that all the difference can be made in our worship. The one sacrifice needed for us to praise and worship God, to call him Father, to live with him in glory one day, has been offered by God upon the cross. And the resurrection proves that it was accepted. And that is why on the first day of the week we worship, because it's the day of the resurrection. And on that day we have communion. The cross and the resurrection on the one day. The reminder. And that's how we come to God. And that's why we are allowed to come to God. To worship him. The veil in the temple was split in two. The mercy seat was revealed. Because man can come to God now through the one sacrifice, which is Christ Jesus. But what we must never forget, and our joy at that, and it is a joy, is that although today we do not need sacrifices to come to worship God, God has not changed. He is still as holy as he ever was. And our Sunday time of worship is still a privilege we have been given by God. It is still for God that we come to worship. It is still for God that we predominantly meet. Not for ourselves, although we are blessed through it. And consequently, we must treat this time that we share together as a special honour that Almighty God gives us. And if you don't remember anything else I said, then take that away with you. That this is an honour and privilege that we have been given by God when we come to worship him each Sunday. And this is what the author of Hebrews is saying in his book, you see. He is a Jew, writing, it would seem, to Jews. And he goes back over the past. And he says, look what it was like when we used to come before God with our sacrifices. And the priest would have to do them continuously. And then he said, but that's changed. That has wonderfully changed through Jesus. And he says, because of that, we can come now with courage before the throne of grace. And although he's talking about that individually we can, he is talking as a Jew about coming corporately today, coming together as a fellowship. And he says in verse 19, my friends, the blood of Jesus gives us courage to enter the most holy place, God's presence, by a new way that leads to life. And this way takes us through the curtain that is Christ himself. We have a great high priest who is in charge of God's house. So let's come near God with pure hearts and the confidence that comes from having faith. Let's keep our hearts pure, our consciences free from evil, and our bodies washed with clean water. We do have that courage to come before God in worship. It's a courageous act. We come before Almighty God in worship this morning without bringing sacrifices because of Jesus. But that doesn't mean that we should come without the preparation to worship Almighty God. And that's what he talks about. He talks about the preparations of a heart that is pure and a conscience that is pure. Knowing that on a Sunday we are about to meet with God means preparing for this time with prayer and confession. I still, in my heart, have to come into church and sit and prepare myself. And I think we should all get into the habit, if we've got out of it, of doing that. That we sit there before we worship and we confess before God and we seek that purity of heart through Jesus that enables us to come and to worship him. Probably a good time too to make sure we haven't got one of those terrible mobile phones on, because we've come in and worship God. And it should never happen, because we are worshiping him who is our God. That's what he says here. But then he goes on and says a little bit more. He says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We also come ready to praise God for the hope we have, and we must not forget that. We come in here with hope, and it is because of Jesus Christ. And we hold unswervingly to that hope, and we express it when we go from this place in our lives. We all have our burdens, we all have our problems and difficulties, and some people have a lot more than others at different times. But we have this hope, and we go out with that hope, and we hold that hope firm. And what is that hope based on? That we claim that our God is a faithful God. Sometimes that's hard. He never stops being faithful, we've just got to remember that. That's what we do when we come to worship. And he also goes on and says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Although our Sunday is about pleasing God and praising God, it's also about encouraging one another to do for God what does please God. And our love is a practical expression of our worship. So we should be spurring one another on to love and good deeds that comes out of worship of the God that we care about and who cares about us so much. And then he comes to his final point, and it's a very strong one. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, because our worship time is this special privilege that God has given us, we must value it so greatly. In fact, it should be a prime thing in our lives. More important than anything else is to worship God with God's people. To come as a group and say, we believe. We know that others notice. It's interesting, the comment from that man says, no one goes to church anymore. People do go to church, not as many as used to. But if he looks around, he will see people go to church. And when people go to church, it is a statement of belief in Almighty God. But it's also accepting this privilege of worship. We must value it so much, I believe, that unless there's things that happen, we seek to be in that place in the church to worship God each Sunday. It's important to us. It is the most important thing to us. For here we worship and praise the God whom we love. And it's sad that even in this first century, this author can say there are some who really got in the habit of not doing that. And it's an easy habit to get into, isn't it? It's a lot harder if you stop going to church for 2 or 3 weeks to go back on the fourth week. It just happens that way. And so, as we value it and make it a sacred thing, others will notice that. I believe there's a circle around us of friends and family and neighbours who do notice that we emphasise this worship. And because they see how important it is to us, even though it's not important to them, they will see it is important to us. Not only will God bless us as we worship him, but I believe that God in his blessing may one day actually use that as an example to others to make them think about their commitment to God. That's between God and them. I trust he will. But it begins with us making sure that we value this time when we draw near unto Almighty God to bless him. This week, as I've thought about this a lot, I thought about something I often think about, that I have the audacity to stand up here and talk to you. But I only do it because God's called me to do it. And I feel so weak in doing it, because it's not you I'm concerned about. It's Almighty God. And therefore I ask him who's called me to make me sufficient to lead you in worship and to talk to you about him. And as you come into worship, so your attitude should be the same. That God who has called you to worship him will enable you by his strength, his power and his grace to worship him in a manner that honours him each Sunday.